Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14, we'll read verses 1 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison, and Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being so good to us. Thank you for your presence here at our church. Lord, what a wonderful place. You seem to hover over this place. You seem to enjoy this place, maybe even more than we do. But yet we stand before you, a needy people, a sinful people. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Give our preacher the words that you have for us through him. May we listen intently, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
If you are new in the church, the Bible teaches a concept called separation. And that concept, or that teaching, is that we are not to be like the world, and there are times when we separate from the world and we don't do what the world does. If this is new to you tonight, this topic will may shock you a little bit, but there are a lot of things that you're in store for if you want to grow in the Lord that you'll be shocked about as you grow and learn. The title of the sermon tonight is The Devil's Dance. And I'm going to talk about some dances that many of you have heard of through history, and some of you will giggle and you will be reminded of them. But lest you misunderstand, when I start out, and we may laugh a little bit, I'm going to preach against sin. And so we'll get there, and I don't want you to get misrepresented. I don't want to fake your emotions out. I'm against it. And so we're going to get there. In history, I don't know how many different dances I've heard of or seen through history. There was the jitterbug. There's an actual dance called the Watusi. Now that sounds like a distant country to me. There's the swim, if you can imagine what that's like. And a dance called the Boogaloo. Any of you ever heard or seen the Boogaloo? You're not going to admit to it even if you did, are you? The rumba. There's one called the hokey pokey. Now, how many of you have ever seen the hokey pokey? Thank God for you. Some of you raised your hand. You have never raised your hand during one invitation about God convicting your heart one time since I've been here. But when I ask you if you've heard the hokey pokey, you're willing to raise your hand toward the sky. You're a champion for Christ. There's the chicken dance and the bump. The Charleston, the hustle, the twist. There's a dance called the locomotion, the hanky-panky, and the monkey. There's break dancing and dirty dancing. And then Michelle Jackson, who recently went somewhere, the moonwalk. And that's that one where he did it backwards dancing. You say, is it in the Bible? And indeed it is. In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier from Matthew chapter 14, Herod had placed John the Baptist in prison. Herod had stolen his brother Philip's wife. John had preached a message to Herod and told him he was a vile reprobate and pointed out his adulterous behavior and that it was not right for him to take his brother's wife. Well, Herod wanted to put John the Baptist to death for what he said. Herodias wanted John the Baptist killed as well. Now, that's the gal's name that he has now taken, actually his brother's wife. Herod was afraid of the people, though. There were people in town that truly believed that John the Baptist was a prophet of God. And Herod knew, if I touch John the Baptist, they're liable to rise up. They're liable to rebel. And so he had put him in prison, but had not put him to death immediately, though that's what he wanted to do. It was Herod's birthday, and they were giving him a birthday party. Herod had actually, if you would like, Herodias had set up a dancing girl to come out of the birthday cake. You could almost say that, if you'd like. It was her own daughter or Herod's niece. And she dances at this party, and she stirs the passions of Herod. And she stirs him so much with her dancing that he is captivated by her, and she has pleased him so much, he now wants to please her, and he says, hey, if somebody will move like that, I'll give you anything you want. We had other things in mind, I'm sure. Well, her mother knew that her dancing would captivate this man. Her mother, in advance, said, I've got a plan. Remember, her mother hated the preacher. Her mother hated the preacher. Sad. But her mother knew, if you dance, he's going to weaken and he'll give in to your passionate way. And if he grants you a wish, I have a plan. Her mother instructed her that when Herod makes the offer, ask that for the Baptist preacher's head to be cut off. And the Bible said that she danced, he lusted. He then said, I'd like to give you something to reward you for your lewd way. She remembered what her mama said, and she said, I want you to kill that preacher. I want you to cut his head off. The Bible says that the king was sorry for making this promise to this gal, but he did it. They got an axe, and they cut the head of John the Baptist off. Get this. They put it on a serving tray, like an hors d'oeuvre, and brought it back to the party so the lewd dancer could show off her trophy. She had slain the Baptist preacher with her lewd request. Don't you tell me that dancing never hurt anybody. I'm going to show you some things that the Bible teaches about this topic. So you know, preachers used to preach sermons like this all the time. They don't much anymore, but it doesn't matter to me what everybody else is doing. We don't go by the trends of the day, we go by the book. I like this. A man had just been laid off from work. He was standing on the railing of a high bridge, getting ready to jump off and kill himself. And he happened to look down and see a little man with no arms dancing all around on the riverbank below. The man thought, well, life isn't so bad after all. And he climbed down off the railing and decided not to kill himself. He then walked down to the riverbank to thank the little man for saving his life. Thank you, he said. I was going to jump off that high bridge up there and kill myself. But when I saw you down here dancing around and happy, even though you have no arms, it changed my mind. Dancing, said the little guy. I'm not dancing. I'm an armless man. My nose itches and I can't scratch it. Now, it is sad sometimes how much preachers drop the ball in reminding us of the difference between right and wrong. Now, I'm going to say some things I call the sermon, The Devil's Dance. let me say first of all, the dance mentioned in the Bible is not the dance of our country. The dance that's mentioned in the Bible is not the dance of today or 50 years ago. You take, for instance, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "And David danced before the Lord with all of his might." Well, here what happened is the Ark of the Covenant had been captured. It had been away. And when God helped to return the Ark of the Covenant, see, the Ark had been in Gibeah. It is now returned in that passage in 2 Samuel 6:14. David had danced when the Ark of the Covenant was returned. Now, some dirty compromise and so-called Christian will say, well, David danced. It's all right for us to dance. It wasn't that kind of a dance. David's dance was a dance of victory. It would have been much like jumping up and down when somebody hits a home run. It would have been a little bit like the quarterback or a running back that ran into the end zone and was so excited that he was prancing around and spiked the ball. But it was not the kind of dancing that you see on late night TV. You see, somehow we get this idea that what happens today is identical to what used to happen, and there are people that actually say, well, the Bible talks about dancing. Yes, it does, but it's not talking about the kind of dancing that we refer to in this day and age. There's not a dance that was lewd or sexual or inappropriate. Luke chapter 15, verse number 25, it says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing." What is this about? The prodigal son had ran away from home. When he came home, the Bible says within the home there was a bit of a celebration taking place, and there was music and dancing. And again here, the dancing was not, it was not that lewd kind of dancing that they do today. Here you have a family that was leaping for joy and expressing their gladness at the return of their child. There was no sexual emphasis. There were not unmarried men and women touching one another. There was not, the people weren't gyrating around to wild, loud music. There was some, I believe, good godly music going on, and there were some people that were just as happy as they could be that their son had returned. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." This again is not like our modern type dancing. It's not a man and a woman together who are unmarried being sensual with or in front of or around other people. Now, let me tell you this. I believe there's some men in here that need to take your wife in your arms. You need to hang on to her and lay a great big juicy kiss on her. You ought to hug on her and pet her like you would Fluffy the cat for a little while. But I can also tell you, I happen to believe that in America there's a tremendous lack of propriety. And I think if you're going to do something like that, you do it in private. We don't need you slobbering all over each other here at the church. Now, I think you ought to be expressive toward one another. I believe that with my whole heart. But here in Ecclesiastes, when it talks about a time to dance, it's not talking about MTV kind of dancing. This type of dance that would have been referred to here in the Bible is a type of dance where maybe a little group of children would be running and jumping and singing, "Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy, ashes, ashes, we all fall down." There's nothing wrong with that. But don't you let anybody say to you, well, they danced in the Bible. Somebody is trying to justify a physical action that's not what God planned. The devil always tries to take a good thing that God mentions in the Bible and twist it into something that is counterfeit. And so I say to you, first of all, the dance of the Bible is not the dance of today. Secondly, I think we should take a stand and stand up for what's right and stand in regard to the devil's dance. I'm going to read to you from the book of Exodus chapter 32 where it says, "It came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" Moses was God's man. Moses was on Mount Sinai. He was there to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he was there, Aaron, his right-hand man, was back at the camp at the bottom of the mount. Moses was coming down from the top of the mountain, and he found Aaron had gotten involved in organizing a citywide street party. They had gotten backslidden when the man of God was not around. I'll tell you what. Reason why I think a lot of churches are backslidden is because that somehow the man of God has lost his influence in the church. And I'll tell you this also. The people that work around here, we're going to keep the standards up, not let them drop. You remember that. Moses came down the mountain to find Aaron had organized a citywide street party. They had made a golden calf as a false idol to worship. They were dancing and singing in an evil and lewd way. Moses at first said it sounded from a distance like war had started. In other words, they were playing their music and dancing, and Moses said it sounds like a war has broken out. What it was the wrong kind of party with the wrong kind of music and the wrong kind of action going on. The music was loud and obviously meaningless. If you would, you could say there was a rock band playing and Aaron was in the background teaching everybody to dance to the music. Aaron had formed his own bandstand. The Bible says when Moses came down, he walked into camp and he threw a fit. And preachers need to learn how to throw a fit every once in a while. I don't want anybody to leave this church when I preach on separation, but I will tell you this, you will not change me. I'm staying the way I am. You say, I don't like everything about you. Neither do I, but I'm going to start tampering with it. I want to keep my old-fashioned convictions and old-time ways. That's all there is to it. Moses walked into town and he closes the party down. Really, there were millions. They must have respected him. I wouldn't guess they even feared him. He walked into town. He said, knock it off with that music. Get your clothes on. We're not going to act like that around here. You're supposed to be the people of God. The Bible says he took the golden calf and they ground it into dust. And then he made the people drink it. I like that a little too much. I think he probably learned that from how you housebreak a dog, you rub their nose in it. But here the Bible says he shut them down. So something wrong was going on here. And again, we need to throw a fit about it. You know, you could go back to Herod's birthday party. It was a dancing contest, and the prize just happened to be the head of the preacher, the blood of the preacher. And so I say, I don't think we ought to be going around the dancing crowd. I don't think we ought to be dancing in school and at the bar and down at the Catholic church or at the prom. We have a junior-senior banquet for our kids so they don't have to be exposed to that kind of stuff. You know, you'll find out. I'm for having cheerleaders, but our cheerleaders, it's not an underclothing show. Yeah. They're not allowed to do what they call flying and throwing their legs and their skirts in the sky. It is they do a lot of cheers that are scriptures and decent and on purpose. Some of you men, it'd be nice if you could admit to your wife the reason you like to watch the football on television as much as you do. You like the cheerleaders more than you like the football. That'll make you mad. I remember hearing my previous pastor, Dr. Hiles, talk about he was the president of his senior class and he was in the public school and they expected him to dance with his escort to a banquet. But he was a born-again Christian and he'd been taught all of his life that he was not to do that sort of thing. He had to stand up and tell everybody he would not do it. He said he was mocked and teased. But I guess it's good early in life to learn how to take a stand. From all evidences, it did not hurt him. Made him into a real man. There's a story of an evangelist and an old-time preacher by the name of Peter Cartwright. He was a backwoods evangelist in the early 1800s, and he tells of how he went to a hotel in the Cumberland Mountains, and on a Saturday night, there was a drinking and a dancing party going on attached to that hotel. He asked for permission to interrupt the party because he wanted to preach, but they laughed and refused him. later, a beautiful young lady that knew he had made the request went and asked him if he would like to dance as a mockery toward the preacher. Cartwright grabbed her by the hand, led her right out into the middle of the floor, in the middle of it all. And he said to her, he said, "Ma'am, I never do anything important without praying first. Let's pray before we dance." Hold her down on her knees. He started praying out loud about how, "God, I know that you wouldn't be pleased with what's going on here, and the only way I could get in the middle of this thing and get the attention of everybody is if I fell on my knees and I've got an escort." And he prayed and he prayed. As he knelt there on the floor, she tried to get up, but he wouldn't let her. Wasn't long until the musicians stopped playing. Everybody stopped dancing. He stood up in the midst of it, opened up his Bible, and preached a red-hot, fiery sermon about God and what is right. He led them in a gospel song, and a revival broke out. The lady got saved, and all sorts of other people got saved. Everybody didn't want to get saved, just left the hotel lobby. That kind of Christianity is unheard of anymore. I heard of a dance instructor who said, there was a dance teacher who talked of a very old dance called the politician. Someone said, "How do you do the politician?" He said, "Well, all you have to do is you take 3 steps forward and 2 steps backwards, then sidestep, sidestep, turn around, don't get anything done while you're there. That's called the politician." So may I say that the dance mentioned in the Bible is not the dance of our day. Secondly, we should take a stand in regard to the devil's dance. You say, "Well, what's wrong with dancing?" Number three, let me tell you, what's wrong with the devil's dance? First of all, dancing stirs lust. Two unmarried people can't slow dance and snuggle up to each other and keep clean thoughts like they ought to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28 says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And I'll make it clear again. Two people that are not married are not to have sexual contact with one another. It is a sin. It is a sin. It is a sin. You say, "Well, those people are just expressing their concern for each other." Well, get married and then express your concern for each other. Not only do I think we ought not be dancing like that, I don't think you ought to be watching a lot of filthy dance stuff that's on television. In the, I think it's MTV, I couldn't tell you all the stations where all that trash is, but it's on there. It's on there. They used to call them videos. I don't think videos are as popular anymore. Maybe they're CDs, but boy, they can get out there and get that music going, and just people dancing half naked all over the place, gyrating to the music. It causes lust. No man can watch some gal dance around moving her body in a lewd, sensual way and not lust. Isn't that right, men? Now, if you're a real man, you said that's right. If you're a eunuch, maybe it doesn't do anything for you. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Herod lusted his own niece. Herodias knew that her daughter's dance would turn that man on to the point that he would give something death. She was rewarded with the death of a preacher because she could dance. Tell you how powerful the woman's body is. You might also note that dancing here in this particular situation with this story of Herod and his niece was a broken home. If you're not careful, you just have a mess in your home over this kind of thing. Dancing causes jealousy. There are people that are dead and in the grave today because somebody danced with somebody else's husband or wife in such a way that was displeasing. Fights over the dance that took place. Dance stirs lust. Dancing puts us with the wrong crowd. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." If you're not careful, you're going to find yourself with all the lustful thinking people. Those that are out to fulfill their lusts. If you're not careful, you're going to find the drinking crowd. It's very rare you're going to find anybody dancing that's not drinking.
Right.
for getting high. The liquor crowd. Better watch out for that crowd. I can tell you this, it's definitely not your soul winning crowd. So dancing puts us with the wrong crowd. It stirs lust. Dancing puts you around the wrong music. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You find people that are wanting to dance, you're going to find the wrong kind of music. You're going to find the wrong kind of musical instruments, and the rock and the country and the rap and the soul, and for you village people, the disco. If you don't know, the village people were sodomites that sang their wonderful song, the YMCA. I was thinking about Brother Bush showing us the motions to that song this evening. The devil provides the music and the people provide the motion. You may say you're old-fashioned. That's okay. I consider that a compliment. I say to you that dancing stirs lust, and dancing puts you with the wrong crowd, and dancing puts you around the wrong music, and dancing puts you around immodesty and nudity. Dancing will cause you to sweat. You know where the striptease came from? People got to dancing and gyrating so heavily they began to sweat, so they started stripping their clothes off. That's where the striptease came from. That's the chorus girl type dancing line. They just needed to start taking more and more off because of the way they danced. You don't go to dances and find morally appropriately dressed women. I say that dancing, the temptation caused by dancing, may cause you to do something for which you'll be sorry. Herod was sorry that he got so caught up in this lewd dance that took place that he killed a man, an innocent man. Herod lost his head and took off John the Baptist's head over what? A whore's dance. May end up pregnant out of wedlock. Or with AIDS. Or raped. I don't know, maybe murdered. Dancing creates a temptation that should not be there. Are you all just in shock, or dancing? The devil's dance. I think that in our day and age, the society is getting worse and worse. So is the dancing. Just filthy. And again, when someone says, "Oh, well, they danced in the Bible," it was nothing like the dance that you're referring to. You say, "Will there be dancing in heaven?" In as much as it was appropriate in the Bible, it will be done in heaven. But I can guarantee you, it won't be like the dance of our society. I hope somehow you've learned something. You've been challenged. Let's have us bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.